go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. We're joined by Jim Hansen. He is a senior fellow at the Center for Security Policy these days, I'm very pleased to say. He is a former technical weapons sergeant in the United States Army Special Operations Units. He is a vast resource on all manner of things having to do with national security, but he brings what we consider a unique attribute for us, and that is a real boots-on-the-ground perspective. Jim, it's always good to have you with us. Welcome back.
Oh, pleasure, Frank.
I don't know where to begin. It is the proverbial target-rich environment, but maybe we could start with something that you've just posted in your new Free Fire Zone portfolio at the Center for Security Policy's website, securefreedom.org, about China hacking our grid. Talk a little bit about what the Chinese are up to, Jim, and what its implications might be.
Well, it's not really new news, but what was kind of shocking was the fact that the head of the NSA, Admiral Rogers, in open testimony, went ahead and said that in no uncertain terms, the Chinese can take down our power grid with a cyber attack. And they've been doing reconnaissance, you know, computer reconnaissance and cyber hacking reconnaissance of the grid on a regular basis in preparation for that. And I've known this. I think there's plenty of people who've had an idea about this. But it's not been something that they would have openly talked about until, I guess, just now. And that says something to me about the actual danger that, as they see it, being much more, I guess, serious right now than it has been for a long time.
The other thing that the Admiral alluded to, in addition to that revelation, as you say, at least the public revelation, is that there are one or two other countries that he didn't name, but that also have this capacity. A little unclear whether they've been doing reconnaissance on our grid control system, Jim, or not. But at the very least, it further, I think, underscores the extent to which the vulnerabilities of the most critical of our critical infrastructures has to not just, unfortunately, cyber attack, but to other kinds of destructive man-caused or naturally occurring events.
Yeah, I think it's something that at least this kind of public discussion is a good thing and may have been tied to the event that happened this week as well, which was the House of Representatives actually unanimously passing out the Critical Infrastructure Protection Act, which requires the government to at least do some planning for these attacks. It doesn't have any, you know, real requirement for them to fix anything yet. But at least, you know, they're going ahead, they're looking at it, they're saying, yeah, okay, we've been whistling past the graveyard on this for a while, but we might want to actually take it seriously and start doing something about it. And I think that is a welcome change to our ignorance and lack of action on this over the past, you know, decade or so.
Jim, let me turn to a piece of legislation, speaking of Capitol Hill, that is going to be acted upon apparently in what's left of this lame duck session. It's called the National Defense Authorization Act, or NDAA. It has some, well, problematic pieces to it, it seems to me. There are cuts to some of the pay and benefits allowances for our military personnel, their families, the cost of living adjustments, notably among them. And at the same time, this legislation, at least in its present form, has, as I understand it, hundreds of millions of dollars, if not more, allocated for a 2-year program for the purpose of arming and training so-called moderates among the so-called rebels in Syria. Now, Jim, you've been, you know, a special forces guy. You've been following these kinds of, jihadist, among other threats, for a long time. In your professional judgment, are there moderates in Syria at the moment, in any numbers, for us to be arming? And if not, does it make sense to be throwing more money at that, especially perhaps at the expense of our own men and women in uniform?
Well, Frank, we haven't managed to identify which groups can be counted on with any seriousness to be allies of any sort for us in that area. And the idea that we're going to, and I love the whole plan they have for making sure these are the good guys. They're going to go ahead and they're going to vet them. They're going to do background checks. They're going to do psychiatric evaluations, biometric enrollments, and all this for a group of people who, if we're lucky, might go ahead and fire a few rounds in the right direction before they bail on us. So I'm not a big fan of this entire idea. I think it's a joke. And it would be a joke, except for what you mentioned, the rest of it. They're going to go ahead and cut pay for the U.S. troops who are going to, in the end, have to pick up after this mess. You know, going to have to defeat these guys who we already won against once and go back and fight them again. And instead of paying our guys, we're going to throw a bunch of money away for a bunch of people who definitely are not our true friends and will be lucky if we get any use out of them at all. So it's insane and another Obama debacle.
With, unfortunately, it would appear, help from folks on both sides of the aisle on Capitol Hill at the moment. I'm hoping that there will be an outcry that will turn this thing around before further damage is done, as we were talking about with Diana West earlier in the program, Jim, to the morale and the willingness to serve of people who are putting themselves in harm's way for the rest of us. And in that regard, Jim, I'd just like to ask your thoughts about this warning that has now been issued by the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security to the men and women in uniform and to their families to take care, but wearing uniforms off duty to putting information about them and their, you know, functions on Facebook and the like, lest they be targeted inside this country by the Islamic State. Again, what do you make of this, Jim, first of all, and knowing those who are serving in uniform and having been one yourself, what is this likely to do to the sense of morale and esprit de corps of our troops?
Well, I think it was obvious that military folks are a legitimate target for ISIS to go after. It would be a huge coup for them to go ahead and attack and kill U.S. folks in uniform in the United States. This idea of a warning to keep information off Facebook, because that would be the only way these guys could find it. I think I'm pretty sure our military bases are well known where they are. And if you want to wait outside and wait for people to leave, it wouldn't be too tough. So I think it's another one of those instances where the government's trying to look like they're doing security theater. You know, I don't think Facebook is the place where ISIS, if they're in this country already, would need to stalk our military. But the threat against them, I think, is legitimate, and it would be a huge thing for ISIS to have done. I don't know that that's the way they're going to go about it.
Jim, we only have a minute left. Very quickly, your thoughts on the prospective nomination of Ashton Carter as the new Secretary of Defense?
Last man standing, is that what we're going to call him? Everybody else Obama asked was smart enough not to want that job right now. You can't trust the man, so I don't know why anyone would want to work for him. Given the fact that someone has to, I think this guy is actually a good choice from the military's perspective, as good as we were going to get. He's been around for a while. He's technology savvy. He knows acquisitions. But I feel for him because he's inheriting a horrible situation and a leader with no intention of doing anything good about it. So good luck to him if he takes the job.
We'll be very interested in following his trajectory and confirmation hearings. I like you, I think he's not the worst choice that the president could have come up with by far. He seems to be fairly sensible these days on nuclear policy and nuclear forces, which is a really important area. Jim, we'll be talking about that more in the days ahead. Thanks so much for joining us, as always. I hope you'll come back to us next week. We'll talk, I'm trusting, to the rest of you tomorrow, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.